So we realize that there's a certain wisdom involved, and David has some of the sakal wisdom found in 1 Samuel chapter 18 verse 5, and it talks about how Jesus, how David was wise, and he behaved himself wisely. The word behave himself wisely is the word sakal, which means he knew how to do the right thing at the right time, so that he could find favor with people. That's called wisdom. A lot of people have, for example, the chasap wisdom, and they're good at their hands. They're skillful, talented people, but they don't have sakal wisdom, so they never get promoted. Why? They're always offending their boss. Most talented engineer, but they have no sakal wisdom. They behave like sakai, right? But some people have sakal wisdom, but they don't have the talent, so they can only go to a certain extent. In the end, they couldn't produce the goods with all their diplomacy. There are different types of wisdom. And then there is the other wisdom, that is yada wisdom. Yada wisdom involves the physical body. You see, for an athlete and a runner and an Olympic champion, let me tell you, it involves a certain amount of wisdom in his control of his body. A badminton player, a sportsman, requires a certain wisdom. Wisdom to handle. I mean, not everybody can really... Everybody can play some badminton, but not everybody can be the champion badminton player. We realize it takes more than the ordinary. You have to move into extraordinary skill. And those badminton players use skill. They will, they cannot just keep to their favorite style. The more they go up in the ladder of sports competition, they realize that they also may have to play different styles with different different opponents. And that makes them more skillful in the higher realm. So there is a type of wisdom that we have to define. Not everything has to go through IQ tests. A lot of sportsmen fail IQ tests, but fantastic at swimming and badminton. So that's limiting people. There's a lot of word. That's why the Bible gives everybody hope, even if your IQ score is 20. Maybe your yada score is 100. If only they come up with some other measurements. Here's skills of coordination. They are necessary. Yada, wisdom, control of the body. And the example is Genesis 25 verse 27, that says Esau was a skillful hunter. When he shoots an arrow, it doesn't miss. He was like Robin Hood. He got the target. But of course, we don't like to follow the example of Robin Hood, because it's not a very moral story. It's always wrong. Whether you rob the rich to feed the poor, it's still wrong. So maybe, you know, some other examples. But I cannot think of any good archer, so... That's why I use him, right? Now, in the fourth type of wisdom, it's quite a common word too, is bin. Bin, in 1 Chronicles 27, verse, 1 Chronicles 27, verse 32 and 33, it talks about understanding. It's a word that is normally translated as understanding. Bin wisdom is what the world calls IQ wisdom. The ability to reach a conclusion with a few facts given to you. Most of the IQ tests they have, and people who score a certain amount and enter into the Mensa club, the test is on your analytical and logical ability. Where they give you certain things and a 1, 2, 3, 4, and what is between 3 and 5? Okay, blank, can you fill it up? Or something like that. It makes you think, it makes you conclude, and makes you deduce. And that's called the head kind of wisdom. The intellectual person. The analytical person. That's a different wisdom altogether. Now, we realize that in the world, that kind of wisdom today is honored and exalted far above the others. But there's room for the others. Why? Because an analytical person could go and play a badminton game and end up 15 minus 1. But then, a sportsman may never be able to understand even the simple areas of maths and science and all these areas. He may never want to go into that. So we realize the different types of wisdom. Then the fifth is what we call tushiya, which is found in Proverbs just now in chapter 2, verse 7. Tushiya wisdom is wisdom of the spirit world. You realize that there are some people who haven't gone through education or they failed the education, but they end up usually in more acute in the spirit realm. And some of them end up as, if they do not know the Lord Jesus, they end up as spiritists and mediums and all this, and they earn a living that way. Which is sad if only they could come to realize that they, in the spirit world, there is a demon world and there's a God. And if we don't realize that out there is a spiritual battle, we open ourselves to the wrong thing, get into a bondage, and then we suffer the consequences of it. So there are the tushiya. The tushiya wisdom is an opening to the spirit world. You realize that some people have an acute awareness of the spirit world and an understanding of the spirit world much deeper than others. And people with strong tushiya working in their lives develop an acute sense of what the world calls sixth sense. That's a different realm. Now, to see all these five areas of wisdom, we need to grow in. However, we are not talking about the five areas of wisdom. We're talking about the seven spirits of wisdom, which is why we're talking about those areas here. In the book of Proverbs, when they talk about seven pillars of wisdom, it's saying that all these five areas of wisdom are built upon the seven pillars of wisdom. The seven pillars of wisdom are what Jesus demonstrated before He came to this planet Earth and after He came to this planet Earth in a different way. So with that outline, we go back to the book of Proverbs here. In chapter 1 is an introduction on wisdom. And the emphasis in chapter 1 is that wisdom is two things. Wisdom is a person and wisdom is a spirit. Wisdom is not just a thing. Wisdom has a voice. Wisdom has a personality. In verse 20, it says, Proverbs 1 verse 20, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. So wisdom is like a person crying out. Wisdom is a person waiting to be received. If only we realize that wisdom is a person, and then wisdom is a spirit, it's not just a natural thing, then we will be able to get back that realm of wisdom that God wants us to move into. For we realize that before Adam and Eve fell, they had that measure of wisdom. Adam and Eve could move into that wisdom of God. They could name all the animals that God brought to Adam, and Adam knew it and he named it. There was such wisdom that flowed in his life. One day when we all get back to heaven, in heaven we will be able in a moment of time to learn anything God wants us to do. On this planet Earth, it may take about 7 years or 8 years for a person to learn piano from grade 1 to grade 8. One a year, at a normal slow pace. Some of course jump and they could do it faster. And then they go for diploma, degree, masters, and then PhD in music. But it takes a long time. By the time you finish and you graduate with a PhD in music, that guy, you know, looks like Lao Lang. Old already. In heaven, within a moment of time, we will be able to understand, even if on this earth you never touched a piano before. When you go to heaven and you see the heavenly piano, which may have more than 88 keys, it may have 8,888 keys, and you'll be able to just look at it and tap on the spirit of wisdom and play the most beautiful melodies. That's wisdom. And that kind of wisdom is possible from time to time as the gift of God applies. Which is why the Bible says, when any man needs wisdom, let him ask from God. If you all know the Christian singer, Andre Crouch, his father was a preacher. And one day there was a heavy anointing on his life. And while Andre was a young little boy, he's the one who composed, you know, "The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power." What a lovely song. And the father came to him and laid hands and said, "God, give my son the gift of music." And the son somehow walked in the anointing, went there, and who had never touched and played the piano in that manner, played the most beautiful melody ever, and he has been doing that ever since. That is what I call the spirit of wisdom. Of course, we know that kind of wisdom is a yada type, skillful, and it's different from the engineering type of the hands. This is a creative. This is the movement of hands. In music, you realize is your coordination of your body is very important. And so here we have the wisdom is a person in the introduction, and is a spirit, so that it could point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. That wisdom is a person. In the Old Testament, you didn't know his name, but now in the New Testament, you know his name. His name is called. What's his name? Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians, when he mentioned here in 1 Corinthians, looking over in Corinthians. Talking to Greeks who love wisdom. He says in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, verse 30, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. Jesus is our wisdom. We need to know he's a person, and we need to know that he is a spirit. In other words, you cannot just contact him with the mind. You may have to contact him with your spirit. You cannot contact him just with the body. You have to contact him with your spirit man. That is why when we were born again, we have been given an additional way to contact God with our spirit. As we speak forth in tongues, we begin to speak in that mind of the Holy Spirit. A higher mind than our intellect. There is a mind of the spirit, human spirit, that is different from the mind of the human soul, which is different from the brain of the physical body. See, there are two minds and one brain. We know that the mind and the brain are related. But if you could cut the brain in pieces and the person's soul come out, the person still can think. How do we know that? Luke chapter 16. The rich man and the poor man. Their bodies were dead, but they were still thinking. The man could remember. So we realize that there is a mind. And the mind is in the soul. It's not in the physical area you could look under the microscope. The only area you can look under the microscope is the brain. And then there's a mind of the soul, and there's a mind of the spirit. And the mind of the spirit is what we tap on when we pray in tongues. When you pray in long hours in tongues, you get into the mind of the spirit. And when you interpret, that's when you begin to see the wisdom of God flowing through your life. Which is why Paul says, pray for an interpretation. So Proverbs 1 is just an introduction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then from chapter 2 onwards, he begins to present to us the spirit of wisdom. Then chapter 3, the spirit of understanding. Chapter 4, the spirit of counsel. Chapter 5, the spirit of might. Chapter 6, the spirit of knowledge. Chapter 7, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And chapter 8, the spirit of the Lord. All the sevenfold pillars of wisdom are mentioned here. Of course, they are related. Once in a while, you find a few mentions of the other spirits in the previous chapter. They are linked to one another. But there's a flow that you could follow in this book. In what we have in the book of Proverbs, in the first section, is that each chapter tells you how to get into that spirit. You see, we read in Isaiah chapter 11 about the sevenfold spirits of God. The spirit of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of counsel, wisdom and counsel, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. We read about that spirit, and then the question is, how do I get into those realms of the spirit? Proverbs gives you the solution. It tells you how to open yourself to that realm.